my mind about that.
They were all good, all the people who came to Copenhagen to work with you. You had most of the great pioneers in atomic theory here at one time or another.
And the more I look back on it, the more I think Heisenberg was the greatest of them all.
So what was Bohr? He was the first of us all, the father of us all. Modern atomic physics began when Bohr realized that quantum theory applied to matter as well as to energy, 1913. Everything we did was based on that great insight of his.
When you think that he first came here as my assistant in 1924.
I'd only just finished my doctorate, and Bohr was the most famous atomic physicist in the world.
And in just over a year, he'd invented quantum mechanics.
It came out of his work with you, Niels.
Within three, he'd got uncertainty.
And you'd done complementarity.
We argued them out both together.
We did most of our best work together.
Heisenberg usually led the way.
Bohr made sense of it all.
We operated like a business.
Chairman and managing director.
Father and son.
A family business.
Even though we had sons of our own.
And we went on working together long after he ceased to be my assistant.
Long after I'd left Copenhagen in 1927 and gone back to Germany. Long after I had a chair and a family of my own.
Then the Nazis came to power.
And it got more and more difficult when the war broke out. Impossible. Until that day in 1941.
When it finished forever.
Yes. Why did he do it?
September 1941. For years, I had it down in my memory as October.
September. The end of September.
A curious sort of diary memory is.
You open the pages, and all the neat headings and tidy jottings dissolve around you.
You step through the pages, into the months and the days themselves.
The past becomes the present inside your head.
September 1941, Copenhagen. And at once, here I am, getting off the night train from Berlin with my colleague, Carl von Weizsäcker, two plain civilian suits and raincoats among all the field gray Wehrmacht uniforms arriving with us, all the naval gold braid, all the well-tailored black of the SS. In my bag, I have the text of the lecture I'm giving. In my head is another communication that has to be delivered. The lecture is on astrophysics. The text inside my head is a more difficult one.
We obviously can't go to the lecture.
Not if he's giving it at the German Cultural Institute. It's a Nazi propaganda organization.
He must know what we feel about that.
Weizsäcker has been my John the Baptist and written to warn Bohr of my arrival.
He wants to see you?
Yeah, I assume that's why he's come.
But how can the actual meeting with Bohr be arranged?
He must have something remarkably important to say.
It has to seem natural. It has to be private.
You're not really thinking of inviting him to the house.
That's obviously what he's hoping.
Niels, they've occupied our country.
He is not they.
He's one of them.
First of all, there's an official visit to Bohr's workplace, the Institute for Theoretical Physics, with an awkward lunch in the old familiar canteen. No chance to talk to Bohr, of course. Is he even present? It's like being in a dream. You can never quite focus the precise details of the scene around you. At the end of the table, oh, is that Bohr? I turn to look, and it's Bohr. A difficult occasion, though. I remember that clearly enough.
It was a disaster. He made a very bad impression. Occupation of Denmark, unfortunate. Occupation of Poland, however, perfectly acceptable. Germany now certain to win the war.
Our tanks are almost at Moscow. What can stop us? Well, one thing, perhaps. One thing.
He knows he's being watched, of course. One must remember that. He has to be careful about what he says.
Or he won't be allowed to travel abroad again.
My love, the Gestapo planted microphones in his house. He told Goudschmidt when he was in America. The SS brought him in for interrogation in the basement at the Prince Albertstrasse.
And then they let him go again.
I wonder if they suspect for one moment how painful it was to get permission for this trip. The humiliating appeals to the party, the demeaning efforts to have strings pulled by our friends in the Foreign Office.
How did he seem at the lunch? Is he greatly changed?
A little older.
I still think of him as a boy.
He's nearly 40. A middle-aged professor, fast catching up with the rest of us.
You still want to invite him here?
Well, let's add up the arguments on either side in a reasonably scientific way. Firstly, Heisenberg is a friend.
Firstly, Heisenberg is a German.
A white Jew. That's what the Nazis called him. He taught so-called Jewish physics and refused to stop. He stuck with Einstein and relativity in spite of the most terrible attacks.
All the real Jews have lost their jobs. He's still teaching.
He's still teaching relativity.
Still a professor at Leipzig.
At Leipzig, yes. Not at Munich. They kept him out of the chair at Munich.
He could have been at Columbia.
Or Chicago. He had offers from both.
He wouldn't leave Germany.
Well, he wants to be there to rebuild German science when Hitler's gone.